beans, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
As we move into the Christmas, fully into the Christmas season, only one more week after this before Christmas, one more show before Christmas. We are also into the big holiday movie season, and there's a big holiday movie out this week.
Yeah,
a little movie, and I say that ironically because the characters are little. Hobbits and dwarves.
Nice.
And a giant freaking dragon.
Yeah.
That would be The Hobbit.
Not so little.
The Desolation of Smaug. There's also Tyler Perry's A Medea Christmas, starring Benedict Cumberbatch as Tyler Perry.
Now, that I would watch.
I would watch the heck out of that.
I would totally watch that.
Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom, starring Benedict Cumberbatch as Nelson Mandela. And we're going to have some news and DVDs and Blu-rays to talk about. But before we do that, let's talk about how you get a hold of us if you want to talk to us and give us your feedback and yell at us. Or, you know, if you want to throw things at us, tough beans, because we're just going to give you virtual contact information. I'm not going to give you my address. That's the last thing
you
I need.
You should.
I should, yeah. I dare you. I dare
Maybe
you.
Maybe I
come.
Will.
I dare you to come throw rotten vegetables at me.
I will give out Kevin's address.
There we are. You can reach us on email at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com, or you can give us a voicemail, leave us a voicemail, at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can reach us on the interwebs at fatguysatthemovies.com, or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM. If you want to find me on Twitter, my handle, not my address, is twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I'm KDK Reviews.
I think what we should do is I should create an app that allows you to throw vegetables, rotten vegetables, at people via Twitter.
Hmm.
We call it the Rotten Vegetable app.
Well, you know, they have the whole Amazon thing that they're working on, like the little...
Oh, the drones?
The drones. So you could throw rotten vegetables at people through drones. Now,
that would be cool.
That would be a good idea.
I think that would be a great use of the drone program.
I think so.
The one question I had, did we talk about the drones last week?
I don't think we did. No.
The question I have, are you allowed to, like, get movies like, when they come out on video, can you get, like, The Lone Ranger and Old Boy and, you know, Paranoia and Runner Runner? And are the drones allowed to bring those to you? Because they would then be delivering bombs, wouldn't they?
It's true.
See?
Ha
ha. I have humor. Ha ha ha.
The drones will not judge.
There's going to be a drone attack outside the Magical Studio in the Sky in a minute. Anyways, you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Let's move on to the news segment. The big one this week. Well, there's actually a lot of news.
There's a lot of news. A
lot of news. The one we want to highlight is the Online Film Critics Society had their nominations for Best Film come out this week.
Yes.
And we're both voting members of that. So
it's very crazy.
It's worth mentioning.
Yes.
So what's interesting with that, I mean, we're not going to run through all the different categories because that would be boring to
it
just
would.
List a bunch of movies.
It would be very boring.
But there's what's interesting about the OFCS is it's online film critics. So you get people literally from all over the world.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's not like Boston Film Critics Society or New York or even Central Ohio Film Critics Association, which we're a part of. And the only requirement is you have an online outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And an online presence, and there's other, you know, like statistical thing. You gotta have so many reviews, and they have to be so long. But you get a really diverse opinion with this group. And there are some that, like in the best picture category, you got stuff like 12 Years a Slave,
mm-hmm.
which is no big surprise because it's showing up on everything.
Everywhere, yes.
American Hustle is showing up on everything. Mm-hmm. Gravity, Her, Inside Llewyn Davis. Those are all very expected award bait movies, movies that you're seeing on a lot of lists and nominations.
Yes.
But there's some interesting ones.
There are, yeah. The OFCS does tend to throw in a few curveballs.
Mm-hmm. Like Blue is the Warmest Color, which is a French film.
Mm-hmm.
A three-hour French film about lesbians.
Yes.
That's a bit of a hard sell.
It is long and it is French.
I'm all for watching movies about lesbians. I am all for that.
Which I was saying that to my husband as I was watching it and he was walking by. I'm like, I think I understand why the guys of the Online Film Critics Society nominated this award. For Best Picture.
Yeah.
I think I get it.
Yeah. There's also another one is Short Term 12, which is one that I don't think is getting much nomination outside of, like, you know, independent type movies.
Right.
It's
yep.
a very small movie starring Brie Larson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very good movie. It's a very sort of, I guess, not visceral, but it's a very sort of, it's very independent. It's very kind of on the ground kind of movie about a kind of a, I guess, what would you call it? That's their... The kids that live in a They're like on suicide watch type kids.
Right.
Know?
So it's troubled like teens. A home for troubled kids.
Yeah. And so it's a character study. So you get that. There's also The Wind Rises, which is the Studio Ghibli movie and Hayao Miyazaki's final film.
That's what they say.
At least, yeah. Maybe it's going to be like the Cher farewell tour.
You never know.
The Miyazaki director. Farewell tour.
Yeah, this is my last one.
I saw that ironically the day I watched that was on December 7th, which I didn't realize until I actually saw it. I'm like, whoa, this is the movie about the guy who designed the airplanes that bombed Pearl Harbor.
Right, yes.
Which made it a little bit awkward to watch on December 7th. But what's it? Have you seen it? Did you watch it?
I haven't yet, nope.
It's
on my list.
What's interesting about it is it's not about warplanes. It's about the artistry of making planes. Mm-hmm. And they just happen to be eventually used for that. And it does kind of tip its hat and say this is sort of a tragedy that these are used as war.
Right. Mm-hmm.
These are used for war and they're really works of art.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what I found fascinating about. And that's, I think, what people are glomming onto. And there's a lot of people going, oh, this is terrible because they use slave labor to build them. And that's true. The Japanese were not the nicest people during World War II.
No, that's true.
I mean, the country. I'm not talking about the people. Just people
right.
in general. There's nothing against – I have a cousin who's Japanese, actually. So
there you go.
Go figure that, right?
Good job.
It's by marriage. I'm not Japanese. But, yeah, so it's a there's some interesting curveballs. Also, they have – that's about all. I mean, I don't know. Is there anything you want to mention about the OFCS awards?
No, actually, you've got the list in front of you, so I'll let you throw out the curveballs on this one.
That's about it. You can go to OFCS.org to read more about that. There's also a couple other stories we want to hit on, which is one of our favorite subjects is Lucasfilm.
Of course.
So what do we got going on from the Lucasfilm front?
Yes, the latest news is that Disney has secured the rights to Indiana Jones. Which is interesting because we've been talking about this lately because with the new Star Wars movie, one of the big things was that Harrison Ford said, I'll do it, but I want to do another Indiana Jones movie.
Of course he does.
So.
Because Paranoia bombed.
It's true.
And he didn't get any
all
nominations
six
for
people who saw that one. Yeah. So. Harrison Ford wants to do another Indiana Jones movie, and now Disney owns that, too. So it's all interconnected. It's this strange inbreeding situation at Disney now.
What's your thoughts? Are you because what's funny is, especially Online Film Critics Society, you know, you get the online film critics are like, oh, they've ruined my childhood and blah, 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 and they shouldn't do that, and Indiana Jones 4 sucked and this and that.
And why wouldn't Disney take over Indiana Jones? Seriously. I mean, it makes total sense. I read the article. I was like, yeah. That works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a big shock to me at all. I mean, they already own Star Wars. Why not?
Yeah.
And who else would make a good Indiana Jones movie? Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, I mean, Disney knows how to run franchises.
Yes.
And that's why it works. But the thing is, I'm actually going to defend the franchise a bit. For all the hate that Indiana Jones 4 got.
I didn't mind it.
I liked it.
I enjoyed it.
But here's the thing. When people hate on it, they seem to forget Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, has some real problems in it.
Yeah. This is not a serious, brilliant series. I mean, it's wacky and fun and silly, and that's what's fun about it.
Well, the other thing, people...
It's kind of a silly franchise.
People dump all over the whole alien aspect of Indiana Jones.
Yes, which was my problem with it as well.
But here's why I excuse that. Mm-hmm. Because... The first three movies, because Harrison Ford made them all within 8 years, I mean, he was still a young guy to do these. And and it was taking place in the 30s and the 40s.
Yep.
I think they all took place in the 30s. But
something like that.
The big baddies during the 30s were the Nazis. There
right.
you go. Boom. And so you had the Nazis were known for going after these religious artifacts and that sort of thing. So
right. You
had that going on, although Temple of Doom was completely different. But Harrison Ford's a way older in 2008 than he was in the 80s. I mean, he's 20 years older. So, yeah, it had to be in the 50s or it'd be ridiculous to be like, oh, my God, Indy, you had a couple bad years.
Woo.
What happened to you? So it made sense because the 50s were about aliens. The 50s were about the Russians and not the Nazis. It all made sense in that thing. And I think people just – it's the Goonies effect where people just cling and they clutch to nostalgia.
Yeah.
Which you shouldn't do.
No.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
Anyways, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be reviewing The Hobbit. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
Hello.
Before we talk about The Hobbit, I wanted to drop in one other thing. There's another smaller group, lesser known group.
A little group that you may have heard of. If you're in the know.
Yeah. If they are, they also came out with their nominations. That would be the, what is it, the Online Foreign Bought Press or something like that?
Hollywood Foreign Press Association.
Just a bunch of people who don't know anything.
They do a little award ceremony called the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they came out with their nominations this past week.
And of course they did, because who didn't? Seriously.
Everybody did.
I'm so tired.
But you know what? What's interesting about it is generally the Golden Globes are like, and I'm going to use a comment like this later on, too. I'm going to use this reference. But it's sort of like Miley Cyrus twerking at the VMAs. It's a scene where people go, huh? And they go, what? Because there's always some wacky nominations in there. There's always The Tourist getting some nominations. Or Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story, getting some nomination somewhere. Ridiculous movies that have no business whatsoever in any award circuit.
But they're very entertaining.
Yeah.
It's true.
This year, there's nothing that's like, there's no, huh?
No, it really, you know, you look at the list and you're like, yeah, okay.
The reason you get those crazy awards, those crazy nominations, is because they break up their categories into drama and comedy and musical.
Right.
So you get these weird things where they're nominating like Les Mis, which is nowhere near a comedy, but it's a musical.
It's a musical.
And it's up against something else like Horrible Bosses or something ridiculous like that.
It is kind of random.
So this year in particular, there's a bunch of award films that kind of like couldn't exist as a drama or a comedy. And like even if you
that's what you get a lot this time of year. There are a lot of movies that are, they're really dramas, but, you know, they're kind of funny, too. Yeah. So they'll throw them into the comedy category because, well, you know, there's a ton of dramas.
Yeah, because their comedy nominations are American Hustle, Her, Inside Llewyn Davis, Nebraska, and The Wolf of Wall Street. None of which are, like, knee slappers.
No.
Probably the closest would be Wolf of Wall Street has some pretty crazy moments.
And American Hustle is pretty funny, too.
American Hustle. But these all do exist in the very, they seem like respectable award films.
Right. These aren't wacky comedies by any sense of the imagination.
And they're balanced out by the hilarious 12 Years a Slave in the motion picture drama category, Captain Phillips, Gravity, Philomena, and Rush.
Which I think Philomena could go either way, too.
Yeah.
It was kind of a comedy, too.
It has its funny moments. Yeah, that's the thing.
Just
you don't
as much as anything on the comedy list does. I'd say Philomena is just as much a comedy as Her and definitely as Inside Llewyn Davis.
Yeah, I would question Her being a comedy.
Yeah.
Really at all. Because, I mean,
It has some funny moments.
Funny moments.
I wouldn't call it a comedy, no.
So that's interesting to talk about. I mean, you can check out the Golden Globes Awards. And you don't even have to go to any website. Just search Golden Globe nominations 2014.
Well, actually, the Golden Globes website is
terrible.
Is horrible. And I was trying to look at it after the nominations came out. And I was like, I can't find anything on this site. So, yeah, I went to some other site that actually had them listed. And I appreciated that.
Do you know why? Because they list them in alphabetical order by the name of the category. So best actor, best actress. Best, yeah. And so, like, you have to get best picture.
But then
go way
it's
at
like,
the bottom.
It's like this little flip around, so you have to, like, click to the next category. And, like, I just want a list. Can somebody give me a list of these awards, please?
It's like Oscar.com is terrible at that, too, until they get their ballot, which you can download.
The ballot is great, yes. So.
Anyways, let's move on to the next movie, the first movie we're going to talk about this week. You're listening to
movies.
Fat Guys. You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and we are going to be talking about The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
Let's not say it that way because it's silly.
Peter Jackson continues his Hobbit trilogy following Gandalf, Bilbo, and the dwarves as they steal into Erebor and face Smaug the dragon.
We are the dwarves of Erebor. We have come to reclaim our homeland.
I offer you my help.
How do we know it won't betray us? We don't.
There is no king under the mountain, nor will there ever be.
It will not end here. With every victory, this evil will grow.
You have no right to enter that mountain.
I have the only right.
What do you think of this movie?
It's The Hobbit.
Okay. Are you not a Hobbit fan? You're like filthy little creatures.
You know, I read The Hobbit, yeah. and that's fine. I wasn't a big fan of the book. Mm-hmm. It was okay. But, you know, I think the thing...
Did you like The Lord of the Rings?
I did.
Okay.
I really enjoy the Lord of the Rings movies, and I think my complaint for this movie is the same as my complaint for the last Hobbit movie. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's too distant. It doesn't have the same kind of character. It doesn't have the same kind of personality as the Lord of the Rings movies. The Lord of the Rings movies, you had this whole group of people going on this journey, but you knew all of them. You knew them by name. You knew them by personality. You knew their background. You know, you actually were able to feel like you were a part of the journey.
Okay.
And in this, it's just a bunch of dwarves. There are like three of them that have names that you might know of.
Well, there's the fat one, the good-looking one.
Exactly.
There's the one with the big nose who throws rocks instead of having a sword. They have the whole thing in the first movie, like axe or sword, and the guy's like, I have a slingshot.
Yeah.
You got the old one.
Right.
And you've got the one that kind of looks like Thorin, but it's not Thorin.
Right.
So, yeah.
And you have Thorin. Yeah. Thorin's the only one who really matters. Who's got Thorin and you've got Bilbo.
Yeah.
These are the two characters in this movie. And the rest, they're just, you know, some crazy dwarves in the background. And that's my complaint with this movie, that you don't get the same emotional attachment to the characters because you don't really know who they are. Whatever. There's some fat ones and some crazy ones and some ones with wacky hair. And that's all that you get. So for me, it's a little bit distant. That said, though, it's still gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
It's Peter Jackson. It's absolutely beautiful. And it's imaginative. The effects are great. The sets are great. The cinematography is beautiful. You have that.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a fun adventure. It's just, it's not The Lord of the Rings.
See, I'm on the other side of the coin. I was not a huge fan of The Lord of the Rings movie.
Hmm.
I thought them to be overly morose and drippy. And
yeah.
They seem to be stuff that were tailor-made for the fans, which is cool. But I thought they just went on way too long.
Oh, well, yeah.
And
they all do.
Well, but the thing is, I kind of like the Hobbit movie. To me, it's a little more digestible. And yeah, you don't know these dwarfs, but you don't need to. It's really about Bilbo and Thorin and kind of about Gandalf, but he just runs around getting him into trouble.
Yeah.
You know? And that's really what it's about. And it's the one thing on this one is this movie is much more about the dwarves than it is about Bilbo. Whereas the first movie was a lot about Bilbo.
Right.
This one's more about the dwarves, and Bilbo kind of, you know, comes in and out. You know, it's really not him having any sort of growth. It's the characters and the dwarves.
Right.
And you get the introduction of, Luke Evans is the human character, which of course dwarfs the dwarves.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where he's talking to Thorin, who towers over Bilbo, but then when he suddenly shows up against a human, he's like, I am just a tiny little guy. But I enjoyed it. It is a bridge movie. It's a bridge between the first.
Well, and that's
the last.
That's part of the challenge with this series too. Mm-hmm. At least with Lord of the Rings, it was three separate books.
Yeah.
With this, it's one book broken into three parts. So you don't have the same beginning, middle, and end really as you had in the Lord of the Rings. So yeah, the beginning is a little awkward. It jumps in. It's kind of a flashback, and I was like, I don't know what's going on right now. Why are these people talking like they don't know each other? Because they had a whole movie. But no, it's a flashback. And then it ends, it just kind of cuts, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's been all the Lord of the Rings. That's pretty much the first Lord of the Rings
was for terrible sure. for that, yeah.
But the thing is, I did like, Smaug is great. He's fantastic, and as, Benedict Cumberbatch. He does tend to monologue for like a half hour at the end of the movie, which is cool if you
it's
like
Benedict
that.
It's Benedict Cumberbatch, why not?
But it works good. I enjoyed it. I want to see it again, but I'm waiting until DVD because I end up watching it a couple times on DVD, and I don't need to see it twice. In like 2 weeks.
Yeah, so. No.
But I give it a rocks. What do you give it?
I'm going to say it rocks.
Let's move on. We're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk of Medea Christmas and Mandela Long Walk to Freedom. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Chris and Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Woo!
We finished talking about The Hobbit. Now we're going to be talking about another weird little creature.
A weird little creature.
Called Medea.
Is that what we're calling Tyler Perry these days?
Tyler Perry's a Mandela Christmas. I mean a Medea Christmas. Mandela is later.
That's later. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Anyways, Medea's back with another surefire terrible financial hit, making Christmas more uncomfortable than Miley Cyrus twerking could ever do.
Mom, I'm not going to be able to come home this year.
It's Christmas.
I'll come up there. I could ask your Aunt Medea to come with me.
Your daughter is grown. Leave her alone.
I'll pay you.
What time you gonna leave?
Surprise!
Mom,
who are you?
I'm Connor.
Mama, Daddy.
Well, Miss Bidet, looks like we're going to be spending Christmas dinner together this year. Did you hear the one about the two rabbis and the black dude?
Did you hear the one about the stray bullet that killed the redneck for telling the story about the two rabbis and the black dude?
Would you like me to reread that for you?
No, I think I got the point across. It's an absolute mess. And this was one that they didn't show anybody. I don't even think Tyler Perry got to see this before it came out. This is yet another Tyler Perry movie. But how many Tyler Perry movies have you seen? I think we have this discussion before.
I don't know.
Have you seen any?
Yeah. I don't even remember. I've blocked them from my memory. I know I've seen a few here and there, but yeah.
What's interesting is he started out all of his movies, and this is based on one of his plays. So they're, some of them are, I don't know.
They often are, yeah.
I don't know if like Witness Protection was based on his play. This is based on his play. And it's the stories tend to follow this sort of arc where you've got some, and it's usually a woman, mm-hmm. in trouble, yep. dealing with some really awful, horrible stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's a gospel play with her where she gets kind of drugged through the mud and has to come up and find her faith and all that. And instead of making it a movie that makes you want to open up your wrists, they balance it out with...
With a crazy big old grandma.
Gun-toting woman... Talking about Daniel Hardard, Medea would come in and just be outrageous.
Yes.
Recently, though, he's kind of gotten away from that. And like when he did Witness Protection, which is the one with Eugene Levy, uh-huh. he just kind of got rid of the gospel play aspect of it and just made it the wacky Medea movie, which I kind of wanted to see.
Well, yeah.
Because I was like, I kind of can handle Medea. But no, it was bad. It was awful. Now, this one has Larry the Cable Guy in it.
Well, that's exactly what we needed.
As Medea's grandniece's would-be father-in-law. So if you're not annoyed enough...
Try drawing that on a map.
If you're not annoyed enough at the big black guy, you can be annoyed at the big white guy in this movie, too.
Yes. We are at equal opportunity in this film.
I don't know. This is the kind of movie... You get these movies all the time. You should know by now what you're going to get when you get a Medea movie.
It's true.
If you go see this movie, and you don't have to, if you go see this movie and you don't like it, you are completely guilty of a self-inflicted wound because it is your own doggone fault for doing it.
There are plenty of other movies out there right now. Mm. Can we suggest a few?
What's terrifying about it?
We can suggest a few.
This is like one of the only like Christmas movies out. If you're looking for a Christmas movie.
Well, yeah, we've got The Best Man Holiday.
Yeah,
which is the same thing.
Well... Best Man Holiday could have done with some Medea. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that right now. Ugh. So, yeah. What are some other Christmas movies movies out right now that you want to talk about?
Movies out right now?
There's Kicking a Puppy in the Face. That's a movie?
Yes, that's a great holiday story.
It's a way better than any Medea movie.
It is moving and touching, and it's fun, too.
There's Infant Burn Ward is a great holiday movie that's better than Medea's.
Wow.
Medea Christmas. There's Kevin Carr offends everybody on the planet.
Yeah,
that's a great movie.
It plays weekly on your local radio station.
There you go. Anyways, this one gets a preemptive suck because nobody saw it.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Before we get to the next movie,
yes,
because this is interesting.
Interesting news about this next movie.
The of course, as everybody knows, Nelson Mandela, former president of South Africa, died on Thursday. December 5th. And what was interesting is, of course, everybody's tweeting about it and, you know, mistaking him for Morgan Freeman and stuff like that. But did you hear that? Some people tweeted an RIP and they put a picture of Morgan Freeman.
Seriously?
He just played him in a movie, guys. That's not really him. But Nikki Fink, who is this awful, horrible woman who runs box office websites, she recently got booted off of Deadline.com, which she found.
Right, and what is she doing now?
She runs her own NikkiFink.com, I think, is what it is.
Of course she does.
She had tweeted out, it basically said, you know, RIP Nelson Mandela, subject of the Weinsteins' new movie, Mandela Walk to Freedom, opening in Christmas. Wide release or something like
that. Which has awards buzz.
Yeah, which has award buzz, which is ridiculous. I mean, it's like that's the connection you make. I know you're a box office person.
Who cares?
But seriously?
Really, this is a little bit bigger than the box office. And I did also write down the note, that the tweet that she had had later after people kind of attacked her for it.
Yeah.
And her response was, I write about the entertainment biz, and that movie is a wonderful tribute to Nelson Mandela since it's based in his autobiography. Who cares?
Yeah.
Seriously.
I mean, this isn't like when Paul Walker died, which it was very relevant to the Fast and Furious franchise because it dovetailed into all this. This is just a movie made about a guy.
Yeah.
And Nelson Mandela is not defined by the movies that are made by him.
No.
Paul Walker kind of is defined by the movies he did.
It's true.
So.
Yeah. So Nikki Fink is ridiculous.
She's an idiot.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's talk about the next movie.
Let's talk about
which
Nelson
is relevant.
Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom. This extensive biopic explores the late South African leader's life and work from his days as a young lawyer through his imprisonment to his 1994 presidential election.
Wait, he was elected president?
That covers it all, wow. Ladies and gentlemen.
We are the people of this nation, but we don't have rights. There comes a time when there remains two choices. Submit.
This is your final warning!
Or fight!
Somebody want me.
The sentence will be life imprisonment.
What'd you think of it?
You know, it's a hard movie to get into for me, because we have 50 years, more than 50 years, that you're covering in 139 minutes.
Yeah.
That is not enough time to cover 50 years, especially for someone.
Peter Jackson it is.
Yeah. Yes, but he's not making movies about Nelson Mandela.
Not yet.
It is hard to cover Nelson Mandela's entire life and his work in 139 minutes.
A lot of that's because he has very different, decidedly different parts to his life.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing. It tries to cover them all in one little compact movie, and it doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, it starts out, it's all these little snippets, and I was so confused at the beginning of the movie. I'm like, I don't even know what's going on. Who are all these people? What is going on? Because it's just like one little snippet here, one little snippet here, one little snippet here, and you're like, whoa!
Yeah.
It does eventually slow down, and
because he goes to prison, and you're just sitting around.
Well, yeah, but then it kind of moves on to Winnie and his family, and you know, it does eventually get into the story, but it takes a while.
Here's the thing: it's Idris Elba plays Nelson Mandela.
He does
a very good job at it.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi Harris plays Winnie Mandela, and she does a good job. She's not given much to work with.
For me, this is Naomi Harris's movie.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I thought she was just okay.
I thought she was fantastic.
Really?
To me, she kind of overpowered Idris Elba for me.
Really?
Because of, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a girl. But that's all possible. Of the things that she had to endure and to deal with while he was off, you know, not only doing his work, but also in prison. Mm. And she not only took care of the family and raised the kids, but also continued his mission while he was in prison.
Well, she kind of goes cuckoo bananas.
Well, yeah.
And there's a good reason for a lot of that. But she's not the most sympathetic character. And I'll give them credit that they didn't sugarcoat as much as they could have.
No, with Mandela either. I mean, in the beginning, he's a pretty terrible person.
He's a revolutionary.
Well, it's not even that. Yeah. He is a terrible husband. He sleeps with everything that moves, pretty much.
But he's Idris Elba.
Hey.
Amen.
But yeah,
so
he is not a great husband and father. And that's the thing. You know, he's always gone. So
I don't know. I thought this movie it wasn't very well structured. I mean, it has good intentions. I don't know the history of South Africa and a lot of the nuances to it. So I don't know a whole lot about him either. Mm-hmm. So I can't judge based on that. It really was a totally all over the place.
And it bites off way more than it can chew.
Yeah. So I'm going to say it kind of sucks. What do you say?
I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
All right, we got to go. When we come to a break, when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about box office and DVDs.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Hi.
Hi. I was just waiting. Waiting for you to go.
Being
respectful.
Waiting for something over there.
Some there's some glorious statement from me. Hello.
There's always something.
Some singing. I could start singing. I could be like the dragon from Smaug.
Oh, that would be neat.
Or I could be. What's funny is Peter Jackson calls it Smaug.
Yes.
He puts in an SCH.
Yes.
I don't know what the dragon's name is. I don't even think the dragon knows his name.
I'm just kind of sticking with Smaug because it's easier to say. I'm not going to fight and say it has to be Smaug.
Smaug.
Because whenever
it is
say
Smaug,
that,
actually, that is what how it's pronounced.
I don't care. It sounds silly. I'm just going to say Smaug.
Okay.
It seems a little geeky to say it that way. So I'm just going to stick with a mainstream version and say Smaug.
The heck with you geeks.
Mostly because somebody made a joke about it.
Stupid with, hobbits!
After the title came out,
yeah.
Somebody posted on Twitter about the desolation of Smaug is what mm-hmm. happens in Los Angeles every single morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm sure more than one person posted that one on Twitter.
It could be. But somebody that I follow did.
Okay.
Anyway.
Anywho.
Let's move right along.
Let's talk about the box office.
Yes.
Right. Last week.
We kind of were way off on this one.
Well, we were sort of way off. I mean, we were off because, well, I said $35 million for Catching Fire. You said $45 million for Catching Fire. Actually, Frozen came out from behind and came in with $32 million, which is a great hold for Frozen.
Oh, yeah.
That's a humongous hold. It's at $134 million domestically already. Well, I mean, going into this weekend. It's beyond that now. And Hunger Games only made $26 million. It brings its domestic total to $336 million.
Which is a decent number.
Yeah. But now it's questionable. And with how quickly, I mean, it held decently from first to second weekend.
Yeah, and then it kind of just bottomed out a little
bit. Out of the furnace. I mean, just said, you know what?
Yeah, okay, out of the furnace.
Out of the furnace completely took away Catching Fire's power.
Took away Catching Fire's fire.
Yeah,
perhaps.
But I mean, then it went down to 26. That's actually a pretty steep drop. So, I mean, the question is it now going to beat the box office for the first film, which is like $409 million
mm-hmm.
domestically? It'll, I think, overall, international box office is doing better, so it'll do better than the
I think
the
it'll do
film.
Okay. I think it'll stay
still making
kind
money.
Of consistent at this point.
Yeah.
Because now kids are getting out of school
yeah.
for the holiday breaks. So, you know, they'll go watch
out
it again.
Out of the furnace. They're all going to be flocking to see Casey Affleck and
okay.
the other guy. Yeah,
the
I don't know.
Guy.
I think it's good to be right around $400 million. But the thing is that people were trying to see whether it was going to catch Iron Man 3 as the top grossing domestic movie of the year. And I don't know if it's got that. Now, ticket sales, it's going to beat it because it doesn't have a 3D bump.
Right.
But it may not quite. It'll top out right around 400, but it's not going to be a surefire beating of Iron Man 3.
Right.
But it'll do plenty good overseas, as it is doing. Because
mm-hmm.
the first movie didn't do. I mean, it did fine, but it like only made like $270 million overseas versus like the $400 and some million it made domestically.
Mm-hmm.
So this one will be a little bit more consistent with normal box office. Then Out of the Furnace was at three, at third. With only $5.2 million, Batman, way to go. So, and then Dark World, Delivery Man, Homefront, Book Thief kind of popped in there at $2.6 million. It's at $12 million, and this is just sort of, you know, puttering away.
Which is interesting because that one just kind of popped up and it didn't screen.
Yeah.
And, you know, it didn't get a lot
it's,
of.
It's released by Fox, so I mean, it had a major distributor.
Yeah,
behind
you
it.
Would think that. It would have been a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got screeners for it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I looked at it. I was like, wow, wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He did get nominated for a Golden Globe for Best Score.
Yes.
Just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's John Williams. So, come on. Seriously. It's John
Williams. Of course it got nominated.
And you just kind of go down. Dallas Buyers Club crept into the top 10 at $1.5 million, which is great mm-hmm. for that because it's a good movie. Inside Llewyn Davis only had made $405,000 only four theaters.
Right.
Which is actually the best early opening performance for a Coen film.
It's not bad.
I mean, it's not going to match like True Grit.
No.
Which obviously is such a very mainstream movie for them. But yeah, Inside Llewyn Davis, it's getting a bunch of nominations. I wouldn't be surprised to see it get an Academy Award nomination.
Oh, I'm sure.
A couple of them, actually. Yeah. So that's about it. What do you think is going to win this weekend? Smaug?
I just can't imagine what's going to win this weekend. I guess I'll probably stick with The Hobbit.
Yeah? What do you think it's going to make? I'm going to say $65 million for Smaug.
65?
Yeah.
I am going to give it 80.
80?
Mm-hmm.
I'm lowballing it. The reason is because last year when The Unexpected Journey came out, mm-hmm. it kind of came in kind of low. It was lower than they expected.
$84 opening weekend.
Yeah, but people are expecting like $100 million plus. So I'm being conservative. That's fine. $65 million.
You're allowed.
And see, nowadays, you don't get as much in the summer, because summer you tend to get that big blip. You know, you get that big peak.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, in the first week or two, you make all your money. A lot of movies in released in December, especially these big tentpole ones, they have a much longer burn. And I think The Hobbit can do that. Although I tell you, Christmas is just packed.
Yeah.
Christmas Day, they've got like 516 movies open.
There are so many movies coming out in the next couple of weeks.
There's more movies than directors.
It makes my head hurt. So seriously.
Anyways, that's what our picks are.
We're going to have extended-ish episodes of Fat Guys at the Movies for the next couple of weeks.
Exactly.
Because there is no way we're going to fit everything in.
All right. So that's it. That's the box office. Let's move on to what we like to refer to as the world famous
DVD Roundup.
Yeehaw.
Woo!
That whip is in honor of Indiana Jones, which I'm sure we'll see plenty more of now that Disney's got its claws in it.
We'll see one a year from now until eternity.
That's right. Or as they like to say in the Hobbit land, claws, set of claws.
Okay.
Desolation of claws.
Claws.
That was a terrible joke.
It was a bad
joke.
Why'd
you even let me do that?
If I could have stopped it, I would.
I blame you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. First up in the DVD roundup, probably the biggest, the two big ones. They're both Universal movies, which I find kind of funny.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious 6, or as Justin Lin, the director, likes to call it, Furious 6.
Really? That's what we're calling it?
Well, he originally wanted to call it, because the fifth
Fast
one was Fast 5, and he was going to name it
Furious
6. He got a big furious fight with the Furious marketing department of Universal, and Universal won.
Then so, how did they let it be called Fast 5? Tell me that.
Fast 5 worked for them, but they
what
didn't want Furious 6.
What is wrong with Furious 6?
I don't know. Maybe they don't like the word
maybe
Furious.
Maybe it's too much of a tie-in to like the Kung Fu Panda.
Or maybe it just sounds like a horror movie at that point. So anyways, what's interesting about this is this one, Universal's donated a portion of the proceeds from the DVD and Blu-ray sales to Paul Walker's charity.
Yes.
So that's nice. It's. I'll tell you this. I was popping through the DVD or the Blu-ray this week, and they have a preview of Fast 7 or Fast and Furious 7.
Oh.
It's really uncomfortable watching it because it takes place at Han's funeral.
Oh, wow.
And they're talking about funerals and no one's going to die anymore. And I mean, there's these lines that Tyrese gives insane to, because this disc was pressed before died. And so it's very weird to watch this stuff knowing that all this was made before he passed.
Yeah, wow.
So anyways, it's probably one of the best ones in the series. It's good. It's gone from being the street racing series into James Bond.
I still prefer Fast 5, personally.
I like certain things on this. Anyways, Despicable Me 2 is the other Universal movie that's out,
it's a little happier.
Grown on me a little bit. I still think it has problems in the middle with the mall scene, but
yeah, I'd say the first one was still better. But
still better.
This one's still entertaining.
Has minion movies, little mini minion movies, which are always great to watch. There's also Futurama Volume 8, which is Matt Groening's other show.
The other one.
Other animated series that's not The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know if this is the last season or not, because they're finally canceled Futurama again.
Okay.
Then there's Mary Poppins, the 50th anniversary Blu-ray.
Yes, which is coming out just in time.
For
next week's release of Saving Mr. Banks. Although it is actually in limited release in some places this week as well.
In like 12 theaters.
Which, you know, because Mary Poppins didn't actually come out until, like, the 50th anniversary is actually next year.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're pushing it a little bit early, but Saving Mr. Banks is one of those movies that after you see it, you want to watch Mary Poppins. So,
you want to hear the music.
Yeah. So it's perfectly timed.
Yeah. Some other library releases. Oh, well, there's one you wanted to mention that's a new release.
Yes, another one that we talked about a few weeks ago, Man of Tai Chi.
Ha ha.
With Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
His directorial debut, which actually isn't bad.
Which wasn't terrible.
It's kind of entertaining. So there you go.
Takes him a little too serious.
Yes.
Anyways, a couple more library releases you want to talk about. You got Big, the 25th anniversary. That's a nice movie. There's a double disc set of Muppet Treasure Island and The Great Muppet Caper to get you ready for the Muppet movie coming up.
Right.
Doctor Who, the 50th anniversary special with the Day of the Doctor, celebrating his 50th anniversary. Mm-hmm. He's as old as Mary Poppins. Actually, he's like 800-900 years old. But
it's true.
The Hunt, which is nominated for a bunch of awards, stars Mads Mikkelsen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Danish movie. But it's still worth seeing. Teen Wolf, Season 3, Part 1 from MTV. And then The Ultimate Life, which we talked about a couple of months ago on this show. Stayer of the Week's Battle of the Year, because who wants to see a movie about Chris Brown as a hero?
In a battle.
Yes.
Yes.
He got smacked down by the box office.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we got to go. It's the end of the show. We will come back next week and talk about Anchorman 2, Walking with Dinosaurs, American Hustle, and, oh, Saving Mr. Banks.
Mm-hmm. See ya.